everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn, and of course, a special shout out to those listening on the Teach Better Talk podcast. We never want to forget about you guys. Please make sure you take a moment to subscribe and love where you are as we jump into this conversation. I cannot wait to get started. See you in a bit. Hey everyone, thank you for joining Teach Better Today morning show. We have Pam here with us. Pam, how are you feeling this morning?
Hi, Ray. I'm feeling great. You know, it's I'm excited to be with you today on this great show and looking forward to our conversation.
Oh, I'm so stoked for this conversation. For those of you who may not be connected to Pam, this is a perfect member of our educational community to add to your PLN. Pam, will you tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of what you do in case some of our listeners here aren't officially connected to you yet?
Absolutely. So I'm a literacy educator and also a creator of programs that I am very proud to say have been loved by children and teachers and administrators across the country and even around the world. Some of the programs I've created include Lit Camp, which is a summer program for literacy that's used by a lot of school districts across the country, Math Camp as well. And also something perhaps some of your listeners might know about is World Read Aloud Day, which I invented and created with my team several years ago and now is celebrated worldwide. So I'm a real advocate for literacy, of course, and always an advocate for children. I've written several books, some of which with my co-creator, Dr. Ernest Morell, on the teaching of reading and writing. And I guess I'm most excited that, you know, I'm always creating and I love to do it and I love to do it with kids. So that's the best.
Friends, I knew you were going to know Pam the moment she popped in, the moment you mentioned National Read Aloud Day, everyone celebrates. That is something that I bet most educators here were like, someone invented that. I just thought that existed the moment that education became a thing. We have to have it. So I love that we were able to celebrate so much of you, and maybe our listeners here are celebrating your work without even really knowing it's connected to you.
Well, I love that, actually. That's my favorite compliment is sometimes when people say to me, oh, you should know about Lit Camp or World Read Aloud Day, and I'm just like, that's awesome. You know, I feel like the truth of the matter is my best co-creators really are children themselves. They've always had the best ideas. Whenever I follow their ideas, I come up with really good stuff, and I always want to shout back to them just to say, keep being creative, be imaginative. These are our future innovators and entrepreneurs. Just like, you know, I mean, all of us thinking about the future, we need young people who are actually going to really innovate new ideas. This world is hungry for new ideas, especially in education. So I always feel like I say to my team, listen to a five-year-old. They're going to tell you the best stuff.
I love this. You know, Pam, our community here is going to be oogling over wanting to know everything about you. So I'm glad we could get a little snippet in this episode. Make sure, friends, that you go connect with Pam and the incredible work that her and her team are doing. Pam, let's take us back. Before you became this like superstar of education that everyone bows to, when I'm sure you walk in the grocery store and you get little curtsies from people. But before that time, what brought you to education? Why be in education of all things? You're clearly very bright. I'm sure you had so many options of different industries that you could have chosen to go into to influence. Why become a teacher?
Well, you know, I mean, my memories flood into me all the time, almost every day. I would say my two grandmothers were a huge influence on me. Both of them were teachers. My father's mother was a second grade teacher and was a legendary epic teacher in Cleveland, Ohio. When she died, there were many, many hundreds of her former students came out of the woodwork to tell us that lifelong influence. Yes. And then my other grandmother was a teacher. She was actually a professor of higher education. She taught at Teachers College, and then taught at West Point. She was one of the only female professors at West Point back in the day. And so just watching their careers, you know, was very inspiring to me, because I thought that the fact that you could have that kind of impact on people and for generations, you know, like I even see it even to this day. My grandparents, my grandmother also ran a summer camp in the summers, which might seem kind of like, well, that's a fun addition to that. But she always told me that that was where she really did her best teaching. You know, it was like children are more relaxed. We were outside. She had the opportunity to sit by their side and speak with them. I carry my grandmothers with me every single day. I think they were unbelievable powerhouses of women. They could have done anything, for sure. I think in their era, going into education was a pathway that was acceptable for women. But I always kept it in my mind that it's a place you can have a lot of power. You could really do a lot of good. And I, you know, now I've just created an organization called DEWEY, where it's a real education innovation hub. And we're making and creating new programs really like by the month to actually put out into the world. And I feel like, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I think I always have been, but education was a really great pathway. And I'll, you know, all like bow down to my grandmothers, you know, Ruth and Betty, like may their memories live forever, because they were the best. I mean, the best. If, not only were they the best in their career, but for me personally, they were wonderful grandmothers. So I keep them with me.
I love that story. How personal, but also relatable. My grandmother too was an educator, and she tutored me my entire upbringing, which I like loved and hated, right? It's like you hate to be tutored, but grandma was the coolest. So I guess, you know, she had the best candy while you had to torture yourself with math problems. And still to this day, she's the coolest educator. There's no doubt about it. So I love that our families can influence finding the right path. I would love to challenge our community this morning. If you have somebody, a family member that has influenced you to get into this field, we'd love to give them a little shout out. It's always fun to hear those stories. And then Pam, you went into education, and then I love that you noted the entrepreneurial connection. We here in the Teach Better team, we have a little family, little hub within our community that we call our edupreneurs. And these are educators that come together every Thursday. They have a little bit of a networking space that we have within our, you know, family. And it's educators that love the field of education and want to do more beyond it, sometimes reaching into that business field. I love that you've been able to find that balance as well.
That's awesome. You have that group. I really want to encourage that, if that group is listening right now, because I think that is actually what's needed in education. I think that, you know, obviously it was a field a lot of women went into, like my grandmother's, as a, you know, path that seemed acceptable that way. And I think that there was this idea that teaching is sort of in one place and business is in another place. But what I do love that your edupreneurs, I love that word, coming together is actually very empowering, you know, for women, for one thing, but also, you know, men too, obviously welcome. But I think there's just something really almost untapped about the fact that when I'm like, when you're with young people and you're actually in the act or in the moment of learning and thinking and building together, like kind of giving space for them to be entrepreneurial with you. So in fact, for example, just this morning, right before I got on the conversation with you, my team and I are creating a new program called Palstown. It's a writing program for young children, pre-K through grade 3. And in the program, we were talking about like all the different kind of genres that children write in. And one of my colleagues said, you know, one of the best things is to let's give the children the blank paper, to give them the blank space to actually create kind of the borders that they want, to make the genres they want, whether they're writing a list or a TV show outline, or they're going to write their own social media feed or whatever it is. And I just, again, like everywhere we can, let's put that entrepreneurship, whether it's us or our students.
So good. Friends, obviously this topic we could talk on forever. Pam, you are so speaking my language. I feel like you're not gonna be able to get rid of me in your life moving forward. Absolutely. After this episode. But for any of you listening, if you're not a part of our edu creator, edupreneur space, please know that we have that free newsletter that I'm sure you guys see all over popping up on social media. That's free. But then we have the mastermind that meets every Thursday. We have this like cool little group that hangs out in circle that shares ideas. It's full of authors and podcasters and people that own publishing companies. And, you know, I just literally, Pam, last night, and I have to say this because I thought it was the coolest connection I've made in a long time. Somebody in the Edupreneur Mastermind is an educator who he was an art teacher. He left the classroom to essentially go into cities and do massive wall murals, but he takes on student interns as well as teacher interns to help create this community project. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is the coolest thing. And to have an educator know the education space and make this intentional connection to bring it out of the school building and celebrate the community. I'm like, these people, educators have so many great ideas. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I was looking at, there was something on TikTok yesterday where a woman was saying, you know, as if a kindergarten teacher was running Congress. It's excellent. If you just Google it, I'm sure you'll find it, everyone who's listening. But it is true. You know, teachers have to be incredibly resourceful, incredibly of the moment. We have to be able to pivot quickly. So when I started doing more entrepreneurial work around education and building and creating my own programs, I started to read, you know, all these leadership books about entrepreneurism. And I was like, wait a minute. We know how to do this. Like, we're educators. We pivot on a dime. If you come into that classroom and like things feel hard or there was a bad day or the kids, you know, something's happening in the world that feels heavy for you to have to deal with your kids, you have to pivot. You cannot like just sit there and follow that one lesson. You've got to pivot. And also when you have kids who are like, for me as a literacy educator, struggling readers or kids who, you know, you're teaching fifth or sixth grade and they come in and say, I've never had a positive experience with reading or writing. You've got to pivot. You can't just sit there with that same textbook. You've got to figure out a way. How am I going to reach them? What better way is that to learn how to be an entrepreneur?
So good. Yeah. Teachers do not give themselves enough credit. If you are in the education space, I promise you, you have so many more skills than even you can celebrate in yourself, which is why you need a strong network to continue to celebrate the work you're doing. Whether you decide to stay in a more of a simple space in education or expand your knowledge, wherever you are in that phase of life, we would love to celebrate with you. And it sounds like Pam's going to be your biggest advocate ever.
Well, definitely. And I love what you're doing because I agree with you. You definitely need professional company or people who are going to push you out of your comfort zone. Because when you're in the classroom or in a school, you know, you're managing a lot of details and operations and getting kids to and from places and just keeping everyone safe, happy, and healthy takes a lot of work. But I think giving yourself a little bit of a moment, like to meet with your team or to read the newsletter or any of those things, to me, I feel like that's a personal refreshment that teachers need. Something in my work in building programs is I'm always thinking when I'm writing lessons. In fact, today, working on this new program, I was thinking about this. Like, is the language friendly enough? Is it engaging enough for teachers? Because we think all the time, we're thinking children, 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 which is awesome. But I do think about, you know, as for teachers, myself, like I want to go somewhere that feels positive, that feels hopeful, that feels strength-based. And so in the work of like building a lesson, I think, how can I actually welcome a teacher into this literacy space? Because they're the ones who have to do the work. And it's the same for us as teachers to think about what do you need for your personal refreshment? Like we're talking with teachers right now about building writing corners in classrooms. Like no matter what kind of space you have, find a corner where you can actually put print materials where children can practice their writing skills. And so I'm asking teachers, what kind of writing corner do you need? You know, what kind of writing corner do you need? I was just shocked last night. You know, some of your listeners might have been equally shocked when at midnight Taylor Swift came out with her new album and then at 2 a.m. came out with another album. So it was a double album. And later I read something where she said how she was, it was all just books of poetry. She was refilling journals full of poetry. And she just said, this can be music, you know? And I think obviously, you know, she's one of a kind, but I also think just being the Taylor Swift of your own environment, like make your writer's corner. Don't doubt yourself. You know, put your work out there.
I love this. Pam, we're going to get into more of your space, the work that you do on a continuous basis with educators here in our team talk section. But I do just want to add in, because I heard someone say this yesterday and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. We were in this edupreneur space and someone said, why aren't there more superintendents or principals or directors in this group? And I think my initial thought was, oh, well, this is really for educators that don't know a lot about business, that don't necessarily want to go get an MBA, but they're looking to really learn about how to use their education knowledge and transfer it into a little bit of a business space. And then someone said, well, don't our leaders have to balance that every single moment if they've moved from the classroom to anything else in education? And I just want to take a moment to celebrate, if you are an educational leader in any shape of the word, like anything, this might be a missing piece that you may not be exposing yourself to for professional development support. Everything from how to brand yourself well, how to communicate well. I love that you noted the communication. These are important skills that we have to practice, and they in turn serve our students so beautifully.
And the administrators, you know, the idea of branding, which, like you said, seems more on the business side, is actually they have to do that every day.
Every day.
For their families, for their school boards. So those of you listening who are educational administrators, you know, thinking, putting that lens on as yourself, as an entrepreneur in your own environment, how could you do that differently? Oftentimes administrators will share with me, you know, for example, a big problem right now across the country is a chronic absenteeism. And really it's about rebranding your school district as a place people want to come back to after COVID, you know? And so that's something that administrators, I think a lot of administrators are very charismatic people. They're really inspirational people. And what I say to them is, and I'll say it today, is that, you know, don't just give your visionary message once at the beginning of the school year and back to school night. Say it every day in different ways, across social media, in a newsletter, in any way that you can, to say, what is your core values? Because that's what your parents are looking for. That's what your grandparents are looking for. They're looking for inspiration from you. And the administrator, you play a huge role in telling the story of your school.
So many good takeaways already, Pam. We got to get into team talk. We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. Pam has shared so many mic drop moments, really great takeaways for all of you to consider. So if you are just popping into the show now, you have a lot to go back and listen to after the fact. Pam, I really want to get into your lit background, because I know that we have been able to share so many other things of insight that you have, but obviously you are the guru in this space. And I want to make sure our community gets to benefit from that as well. So if you were to reflect on a piece of advice maybe you found yourself giving recently, or something that you feel like is an important takeaway for teachers to consider as we kick off May officially today, what would you like to leave them with? What's a takeaway they should really walk away with after this episode?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. I mean, one big thing for me is, especially in May, is that, you know, as we head into the summer, is to create time and space for celebration. I know we do a lot of end of year assessments. That's happening right now all across the country. There's lots of assessment going on. And that all of that is really valuable and very important for a school district. But for us as human beings in this space of education, it is absolutely crucial that we make space for celebration. And by that, I mean, it can be as simple as a writing celebration that happens on, you know, the second Friday of these last months of school, or it's some kind of big all school district reading celebration that happens where every child or every young adult just brings what was the best thing you read this year, brings that to the cafeteria and does a turn and talk with a friend in the cafeteria. Have a poetry cafe where everyone spends the morning writing poetry together in poetry clubs across the district, and then comes into the you know, common space like the gymnasium or wherever you want that to happen, or have every student go and find a special person in the building they'd like to give a poem to. We had one example where a teacher wrote me and said that the children wanted, they loved their gym teacher and they wanted to help him decorate the gymnasium space. So they wrote athletic gym poems and like brought them into the space. Yeah. So that is really important to me. Like, don't think that I'm not a rigorous literacy educator. I want my students to do very well on those tests. I want them to advance and achieve. And at the same time, think about yourselves. Like, nobody achieves or advances in anything unless there's some form of celebration somewhere. I think about that with my team, you know, making sure they feel nourished and hydrated in the work. And I think that's the same for all of us. We need that. We've got to touch into that. When are we getting that nourishment? Children really need that. They really need that. They've been working hard all year. Some feel more successful than others. But these kinds of learning celebrations can really help. Then the other thing is, and this is a little more tactical, but this has been an amazing time for literacy. I'm very excited about the Science of Reading initiative. The movement has been great. I think we're really shifting in the right direction around some of these factors that have been very prohibitive for children in learning to read. However, I think the missing piece in this is the teaching of writing. And that's something that you'll hear me talk about all the time. And I've done a lot of my own work in the last couple of years has been about how we bring the science of reading together with the power of writing instruction. And a lot of those core programs do not have a lot of writing instruction in them. So please, I mean, I'm really asking administrators listening, teachers listening, to your call to action from me is, where is writing happening? It doesn't actually even have to be every day, as long as it's a few times a week that you're really intentional about it. But I'm talking from pre-K through grade 12.
So many good ideas that you just shared. I feel like I'm going to have to rewind this episode and write a bunch of those down, because those are perfect activities. I'm picturing at any grade level. I'm a former middle school math teacher, and I was like, oh, I could do that. I could do that. That would be perfect for me. I love the opportunity of writing. I actually just did an episode with a member of our team, Katie Miglin, a few weeks ago, where we were talking about how teaching math was so amazing for us, but we really liked teaching writing. And the discussion ebbed and flowed about really getting to know students. And so how wonderful would it be to be able to have every content area commit to multiple opportunities for writing throughout the week as a benefit as teachers, if there's nothing else, just to simply get to know our students better. I have a great opportunity to open that door and say, I need to do this for myself to better how I reach my learners. And there's so many good opportunities there.
I love that. When we developed Math Camp in the last 2 years, I partnered with a colleague of mine who's a math genius, Mike Flynn, and he and I really worked together on that confluence of literacy and mathematics. And in literacy, you know, I mean, some of it is really just let's, like you said, really infuse all of our subject areas with more writing, whether it's a stop and jot in a math moment, or writing word problems to share with a peer, or even just really reflecting on problem solving. The act of writing, and I'm going to be, you know, this is like a little bit controversial, but I am a real believer in the power of writing by hand. I think it's actually really important. I think that also children, young children, get to practice sort of how they're making letters as they're doing that work. It's a lot more active than just pressing the keys on a keyboard. But I think even in like thinking about subject area writing, just that idea of whether it's stop and jot or just to take a minute in a math journal or a social studies journal and do that work by hand so children can share their notebooks. And I understand the power of technology. I love it. I mean, it's what's bringing us together today. I absolutely do. But for writing, I would like to make a call to action that we bring back the power of writing by hand and use it for benefit, because it helps you to process your thinking.
So many good takeaways here. I'm excited to hear from all of you listening how you might choose to incorporate even just one idea that's been shared. And gosh, if you've been here the whole episode, there's been a ton. So I'm very excited to see how all of you choose to implement this and where you decide to go. One of the things I very much want to make sure all of you do before this episode wraps up is go connect with Pam and her team. So Pam, do you mind sharing where our community can stay connected to you, keep this conversation going, and everything in between?
Yeah. So first of all, just in the spirit of our entrepreneurship theme is to visit deweycommunity.com. That's where we're creating all our new creations are there, and it's deweycommunity.com. Visit us, send us a note, keep in touch. We've just launched our LinkedIn page and our Instagram page. So like us there, we would love that. And then on the sort of more broader side of my work and my continuing writing work and the books that I've been working on and creating, keep in touch with me at pamallen.com, and that's Allyn. And also just on social media, I'm really love Instagram. I spend a lot of time on Instagram. I think it's just an amazing tool for us educators to show each other our work. And so definitely find me there on X, on Facebook. I'm all there for you.
Love it. Friends, don't forget, if you have any issues connecting with Pam, reach out to me or somebody on our team. We will absolutely make sure that you are connected in any way that you so choose. Pam and her team are doing incredible things, and this is definitely not an opportunity you want to sleep on. So go make these connections and continue to have these valuable conversations. Pam, thank you so much for coming on the show, talking shop, and sharing all the ideas you were able to share today.
Well, I really appreciate you, and I love what you're doing. So I'm here to support you all in any way that I can. And it just, we do it better when we do it together. That's for sure. And so I'm all in. I love the networking, and I'm really an advocate for the idea of the power of story, whether it's in our workplace and in the schools, and that idea of celebrating children's stories. That's what's going to sustain us always and always. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And Pam, when you're on the show, you're officially family. So you can't go anywhere now. You're officially Teach Better Family. It is what it is.
I'm honored. I'm so in. I love it. I love you. And I think this is great. So I'm with you all the way.
I love it. Friends, have an amazing rest of your day. And of course, if you need anything, please know we are always here to support you. We'll see you next time on Teach Better Today. Bye, guys. Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.